Afterward. Marx's great venture, communism, has now all but completely failed. Yet the force of its beliefs should not be forgotten. Marx's ideas offered the prospect of justice on this earth to countless numbers who had never dreamed that such a thing might one day come. Quasi-Marxist ideas would be espoused, at least momentarily, by such 20th-century luminaries as Einstein, Bertrand Russell, Wittgenstein, Tolstoy, Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela. Many now claim that his ideas are of little contemporary relevance. In detail, his critique is said to apply only to the mid-19th century economy that he analyzed, and not always correctly. But the larger picture has changed, and continues to change, in line with his key contention. Philosophy is not an island unto itself. It takes place within society, which is run on economic lines. Who is the economy for? How can its benefits best be shared in a just manner? Such questions remain very much alive. We are beginning a century where the division between the first and the third worlds continues to deepen, where even in the first world the division between rich and poor grows disruptively wide. And not only wealth will need to be rationed more appropriately in a world whose resources themselves are approaching their limits. Marx sought to control the market. The free market has survived and will continue to do so, because it has not only learned how to evolve, but how to control itself. This is why economics, for all its flaws and pretensions, becomes increasingly vital to our survival. The people who brought Seattle to a standstill during the first World Trade Organization meeting of the new millennium were not, for the most part, Marxist extremists or the American poor. No matter their conduct or the inchoate ideas they expressed, what drove them was a sense of injustice. Others in the world, powerless and less fortunate than the protesters, were getting a raw deal. As Marx in his own way showed, we ignore this fact at our peril. From Marx's writings. Philosophers have previously only interpreted the world, but the real task is to change it. Theses on Feuerbach. Religion is simultaneously an expression of genuine suffering and a protest against this suffering. Religion is the sigh of oppressed creatures. It is feeling amidst a feelingless world, the soul of our soulless condition. It is the opium of the people. Towards a critique of Hegel's philosophy of right. To be radical is to grasp the root of the matter, but for the human being, the root of the matter is the human being himself. Towards a critique of Hegel's philosophy of right. A spectre is haunting Europe, the spectre of communism. Opening words of the Communist Manifesto. The history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles. The freeman and the slave, patrician and plebeian, hoard and serf, guild master and journeyman, in a word, the oppressor and the oppressed, in constant opposition to one another, have carried on an uninterrupted, sometimes hidden, sometimes open conflict, a conflict that each time ended either in a revolutionary reconstitution of the entire society, or the common ruin of the conflicting classes. The modern bourgeois society, which has sprung up from the ruins of feudal society, has not done away with class conflicts. It has only established new classes, new conditions of oppression, new forms of conflict in place of the old ones. Communist Manifesto. Instead of exploitation veiled by religious and political illusions, the bourgeoisie has substituted naked, shameless, direct, brutal exploitation. The bourgeoisie has stripped the halo from every profession which was once honoured and admired with reverent awe. It has turned the doctor, the lawyer, the priest, the poet, and the scientist into its paid wage slaves. The bourgeoisie has ripped the sentimental veil from family life and reduced the family relation to a mere money relation. Communist Manifesto. The proletariat have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win. Workers of the world, unite! The call to arms at the end of the Communist Manifesto. The ultimate aim of this work is to reveal the economic law of motion of modern society. Capital. Migrant labour is used for building and draining work, for brick-making, for lime-burning, railway-making, etc., This mobile column of disease brings smallpox, typhus, cholera, and scarlet fever wherever it pitches camp. On projects involving a large outlay of capital, such as railways, etc., the contractor usually houses his labourers in wooden huts. These improvised villages lack all sanitary arrangements, are beyond the control of the local authorities, and are extremely profitable to the contractor. Here he manages to exploit his workers in two ways at once, as labourers and as tenants. Huts have one, two, or three holes, and the navvies who inhabit them are charged a weekly rent of 2, 3, or 4 shillings accordingly. Capital. And a rather more typical passage revealing Marx at his worst. The value of the productive capital P is equal to C, the value of its formative contents, which in the stage M to C confronted the capitalist as commodities in the hands of their sellers. Secondly, however, the value of the yarn contains a surplus value of £78, equals £1,560 of yarn. Thus, as the value expression of the £10,000 of yarn, C equals C plus delta C, C plus an increment, £78, which we shall call little c, as it exists in the same commodity form as the original value now does. Capital. From each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. Critique of the Gotha program. The prophetic words of the poet Heine, written as early as 1842. Little mentioned at the moment, communism is the dark hero lurking in hidden garrets on miserable straw pallets, the hero destined to play a great, even if only temporary, role in the modern tragedy. He is only waiting for the cue to make his entrance. We must never lose this actor from our sight. We must seek out the rehearsals where he prepares in secret for his debut. History generally, and a history of revolutions in particular, is always richer in content, more varied, more many-sided, more lively, and more subtle than even the best parties and the most class-conscious vanguards of the most advanced classes imagine. V.I. Lenin. Revolutions have never lightened the burden of tyranny. They have only shifted it to another shoulder. George Bernard Shaw. Chronology of Marx's Life and Times. 1818. Born May 5th at Trier in the German Rhineland. 1835. Enters Bonn University to study law. 1836. Leaves for University of Berlin to study philosophy. 1840. Friedrich Wilhelm IV becomes Kaiser of Prussia, heralding a new era of reactionism. Left Hegelians dismissed from universities. 1841. Doctorate finally issued by University of Jena, but by now Marx's hope of an academic career has vanished. 1842. Appointed editor of Rheinische Zeitung, Rhineland Times. Engels becomes a communist. Marx marries his childhood sweetheart, Jenny von Westphalen. Marx and his new bride depart for exile in Paris. Becomes editor of the German-French yearbook. 1844. Marx begins his lifelong association and close friendship with Engels. 1845. German-French yearbook closed down by French authorities. Marx, expelled from France, takes up residence in Brussels, Belgium. 1848. Completes Communist Manifesto. Returns to Germany and becomes editor of Neue Rheinische Zeitung. Year of revolutions throughout Europe. Kaiser Friedrich Wilhelm IV dissolves Prussian assembly and suspends democratic rights. 1849. Marx's protest ends in his arrest and trial, acquitted by sympathetic jury. Final red edition of Neue Rheinische Zeitung, banished from Germany. Marx and family arrive in London, which will remain his home for the rest of his life. 1850. Penniless Marx and family evicted from lodgings into the street. At the end of the year moves to 28 Dean Street, Soho, 10 minutes walking distance from the British Museum, where he would do his research in the reading room. 1851. Great exhibition held in London. 1852 to 1857. Employed as London correspondent of the New York Daily Tribune. 1856. A legacy left to Jenny enables Marx and family to move out of Soho to comparatively salubrious Maitland Street in North London. 1861. Start of American Civil War. 1867. First edition of first volume of Das Kapital, Capital, published in Berlin. 1870. Outbreak of Franco-Prussian War. 1871. French defeat. Prussians occupy Paris. Paris Commune. 1872. Death of Marx's wife, Jenny. 1873. Das Kapital fails to find an English publisher. No English translation of this work would appear during Marx's lifetime. 1880s, Marx's last years dogged by chronic mental depression.
1881. Russian Tsar Alexander II assassinated.
1882. Wright's preface to second Russian edition of Das Kapital. 1884. Marx dies. 1885. Publication of Das Kapital Volume 2, edited by Engels. 1894. Publication of Das Kapital Volume 3, edited by Engels, completing Marx's masterwork. 1917. Communist takeover in Russia. 1918. Short-lived communist governments established in Bavaria, Germany, and Hungary. 1945 to 1950, communist regimes established throughout Eastern Europe. 1949, communists take power in China. 1989, fall of Berlin Wall heralds collapse of communism throughout Europe and the Soviet Union. Chronology of significant philosophical dates. 6th century BC. The beginning of Western philosophy with Thales of Miletus. End of 6th century BC. Death of Pythagoras. 399 BC. Socrates sentenced to death in Athens. Circa 387 BC. Plato founds the Academy in Athens, the first university. 335 BC. Aristotle founds the Lyceum in Athens, a rival school to the Academy. 324 AD. Emperor Constantine moves capital of Roman Empire to Byzantium. 400 AD. St. Augustine writes his Confessions, philosophy absorbed into Christian theology. 410 AD. Sack of Rome by Visigoths heralds opening of Dark Ages. 529 AD. Closure of Academy in Athens by Emperor Justinian marks end of Hellenic thought. Mid-13th century. Thomas Aquinas writes his Commentaries on Aristotle, Era of Scholasticism. 1453. Fall of Byzantium to Turks, end of Byzantine Empire. 1492. Columbus reaches America. Renaissance in Florence and revival of interest in Greek learning. 1543. Copernicus publishes On the Revolution of the Celestial Orbs, proving mathematically that the Earth revolves around the Sun. 1633. Galileo forced by Church to recant heliocentric theory of the universe. 1641. Descartes publishes his Meditations, the start of modern philosophy. 1677. Death of Spinoza allows publication of his Ethics. 1687. Newton publishes Principia, introducing concept of gravity. 1689. Locke publishes Essay Concerning Human Understanding, start of empiricism. 1710. Berkeley publishes Principles of Human Knowledge, advancing empiricism to new extremes. 1716. Death of Leibniz. 1739 to 1740. Hume publishes Treatise of Human Nature, taking empiricism to its logical limits. 1781. Kant, awakened from his dogmatic slumbers by Hume, publishes Critique of Pure Reason. Great era of German metaphysics begins. 1807. Hegel publishes The Phenomenology of Mind, high point of German metaphysics. 1818. Schopenhauer publishes The World as Will and Representation, introducing Indian philosophy into German metaphysics. 1889. Nietzsche, having declared God is dead, succumbs to madness in Turin. 1921. Wittgenstein publishes Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus, claiming the final solution to the problems of philosophy. 1920s. Vienna Circle propounds logical positivism. 1927. Heidegger publishes Being and Time, heralding split between analytical and continental philosophy. 1943. Sartre publishes Being and Nothingness, advancing Heidegger's thought and instigating existentialism. 1953. Posthumous publication of Wittgenstein's Philosophical Investigations. High Era of Linguistic Analysis. This concludes the reading of Marx in 90 Minutes by Paul Strathern. Copyright 2001 by Paul Strathern. This book was read by Robert Whitfield. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Ivan R. D., publisher, and was produced in 2004 by Blackstone Audiobooks, Incorporated, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audiobooks. If you would like to obtain a complete catalogue of our titles or our monthly update telling you about new releases and our new collection of books on CD and MP3, write to Blackstone Audiobooks, P.O. Box 969, Ashland, Oregon, zip code 97520, or call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. You may also obtain the same information from our award-winning website. Our address, all one word, is www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.